That was Roger Obotswin, president of the OI Group in Toronto. And Roger was talking to me after he gave that presentation. He talked about how we have to organize, protest, let the government know how we feel, letters, write letters, do sit-ins, talk to our members of parliament, Revenue Canada, talk to the media and let them know that these powers have already been given to us. These are our rights. And since this is the Canadian government election year, the government will listen to the protests if they are loud enough. Now, with Mary Lou's story as a prelude to the featured tape on with Roger speaking, Walter Rudnicki, who was a senior government analyst with the Department of Indian Affairs, who has now been fired by the Department of Indian Affairs, he himself is now going around conducting training sessions with people from different communities to train them so that they can go back into their communities and let them know exactly what the government is doing as far as extinguishing Aboriginal and treaty rights. So Mary Lou and I are intent on going to the next training session, which will be in Toronto on August 7th, 8th, and 9th. It will be in Toronto. It will probably be at a conference retreat. And anyone out there in our community that would like to come to this training session with Walter Rudnicki, all that is being charged is for you to get down there. The food will be taken care of. The rental of the hall will be taken care of, so it won't cost you anything other than you getting your travel expenses getting to Toronto. So if you're interested in coming and sharing some time with the OI group, Roger Obotswin, Walter Rudnicki, there will be a number of people like Neil Jameson, Alex Jameson, who is Gawitra, who wrote that letter. They will also be in attendance. Hopefully we'll have more with that next week or the week after as to the actual place where it will be. I know that Roger was looking into that when I talked to him on Wednesday. So he said in about a week's time. So by next week's show of Smoke Signals, we'll have a place for you and we'll announce that to you at that time. Right now, Mary Lou has some announcements for our community.
Thanks, Dan. Jimmy and Rosalind Carter kick off the 1993 Jimmy Carter Work Project. More than 1,100 Habitat for Humanity volunteers will join former U.S. President Jimmy Carter and his wife Rosalind in a five-day building blitz that will see the construction of 27 homes in Winnipeg and Kitchener-Waterloo, Canada, during the week of July 19th through to the 23rd. The Jimmy Carter Work Project is an internationally recognized annual event of Habitat for Humanity International that draws attention to the critical need of affordable housing. Habitat for Humanity Canada and the affiliates in Winnipeg and Waterloo are hosting the first Jimmy Carter Work Project held completely outside the United States since the project began in 1984. This year's Jimmy Carter Work Project includes special events and activities involving Aboriginal peoples. Elder Art Shoffley will lead a feast and celebration on Wednesday, July 21st to honor former President Carter and Rosalind Carter and Habitat for Humanity. The event will celebrate the diversity amongst the volunteers as they work together. Buffalo, white fish, and rice will be served, followed by hoop dancers and a traditional ceremony. Breakfast Thursday will begin at the University of Manitoba, led by the Lakota delegation from the Cheyenne River Sioux Indian Reservation. They will meet with the Carters and the Habitat for Humanity founders Millard and Linda Fuller. The 1994 Jimmy Carter Work Project will be held at the Cheyenne River Sioux Indian Reservation in South Dakota. During the 1993 Jimmy Carter Work Project, 8 homes will be completed in Winnipeg and 9 homes in Kitchener-Waterloo. In addition, Habitat affiliates will build 11 homes at 8 other Canadian sites. Habitat for Humanity works in partnership with people in need building simple, decent shelter that is sold to them at no profit through no interest loans. Funds, building materials, and labor are donated by individuals, churches, corporations, and other organizations who share our goal of eliminating substandard housing worldwide. Habitat was founded 17 years ago by the Fullers, who have a vision of eliminating poverty housing from the world. In less than 2 decades, that vision has grown to a global housing ministry. Internationally, Habitat is building in more than 1,000 communities in 40 countries. In April, Habitat celebrated the completion of its 20,000th home. In the Builder Magazine, a publication of the National Association of Home Builders, ranked Habitat for Humanity as the 22nd largest home builder in the U.S. in 1992. For further information, you can contact Paul Hebert in Winnipeg at area code 204-589-5371. The Association for Native Development in the Performing and Visual Arts was holding a circle for information for Aboriginal musicians, songwriters, and other interested parties. The second circle, Who's Out There, will be discussing issues on the music industry information circle. This will be on Sunday, August 15th from 1 till 5 p.m. at 16 Spadina Road at the Native Canadian Center in Toronto. For information, you can contact the Association for Native Development in the Performing and Visual Arts at 39 Spadina Road in Toronto. The telephone number is area code 416-972-0871. Ontario Place and the Association for Native Development in the Performing and Visual Arts present a Native music concert series at the festival stage in Ontario Place. Edwa Dre No De Genea in the Cayuga language means coming together to share songs, which is what this stage is all about. Traditional women singers from the Iroquois nations will grace the stage on July 16th, 17th, and 18th, and I believe that's the Sadie Buck singers. Both of the Mi'kmaq, there's going to be contemporary acoustic guitar players, Don Ross and Mac McKenzie, both of the Mi'kmaq nation, will be picking their way through the July 23rd through the 25th weekend. Also included is the hilarious Native satirical comedy troupe, 21 Ways to Scalp an Indian. Join us every weekend at Ontario Place for a unique sharing of Native song and dance in this International Year of Indigenous Peoples. The Native Music Concert Series is free and starts at 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Bring the whole family to the festival stage, which is located near the children's area. For more information, you can contact Rolanda Elijah at the Association for Native Development in the Performing and Visual Arts in Toronto at area code 416-972-0871. Ontario Place and the Association for Native Development for the Performing and Visual Arts presents a Native concert series at the festival stage in Ontario Place. Prisoners' Justice Day is coming up again on August the 10th. On that day, every year, prisoners' supporters join those inside prison who remember those who have died unnatural deaths while incarcerated. August 10th is the day to remind everyone that sentencing people to serve time in our prisons is often sending them to their death. Each year on August 10th, prisoners join together in solidarity to commemorate Prisoners' Justice Day. They fast and refuse to work in memory of those who have died unnatural deaths inside prisons. At the same time, organizations in support of prisoners' struggles demonstrate and hold services and vigils in common resistance against the cruel and inhumane conditions responsible for many prison deaths. Prisoners' Justice Day is the day to raise public awareness of the violent nature of our prisons, which do nothing to reduce the public safety problems in our societies. Prisoners' Justice Day was originally to be a one-time concentrated effort by prisoners at Millhaven Penitentiary to show their solidarity on the first anniversary of the death of Eddie Nealon. Eddie had bled to death on August 10, 1975, after the panic button in his segregation cell failed to alert custodial staff as it should have. Eddie's desperate bid to bring attention to the extension of his stay in solitary confinement by slashing his wrists had proved fatal. Howie Brown, his neighbor in Millhaven at the time, decided to initiate the August 10th fast and work stoppage. Prisoners' Justice Day has become an annual event across Canada and now is extended into the United States and England. Prison deaths do occur frequently, although they are not often publicized. Only a quick survey reveals there was a jail hanging in Moosonee in March of 1993. During the first few months of 1992, there were two suicides and one murder in Ontario Region penitentiaries. During an eight-month period from March 89, five women died of suicide at the notorious prison for women in Kingston. There were six deaths in 6 months at the British Columbia Pen in 1976. Five girls may have mysteriously died at Grandview Training School. In 10 years after 1973, the suicide rate alone in Canadian federal prisons was equivalent to 103 per 100,000 population. With changes in the methods of criminal justice and prison systems, all of these deaths from murder, neglect, and suicide can and must be prevented. Prisoners take the opportunity to make known their demands for change during their show of common resistance on August the 10th. If you would like to get involved, you can contact the Prisoners Justice Day Committee, care of A Space, 183 Bathurst Street, Toronto, Ontario. The postal code is M5T2R7. Donations for the Stony Point people who have just reclaimed their land at Ipawash are still being accepted. Blankets, sleeping bags, fuel such as propane, kerosene, oil, and wood, canned goods and meat, used and new clothing. These items can be dropped off at Namron Friendship Center at 260 Colburn Street. The telephone number is 672-0131. Wishkaig will be having another bingo out at Munster Reserve at the Park Plaza on August the 16th. And that's all I have for now.
Now, Miigwech, Mary Lou. And for powwow, on the powwow circuit next weekend, will be the Grand River Champion of Champions powwow at Chiefswood Park down on the Six Nations Reserve. The following weekend, July 31st, August 1st, will be the Wequemecong powwow up on Manitoulin Island. The weekend following that will be the Cape Croker Traditional powwow up on the Bruce Peninsula and the Tiendanega First Nations powwow up near Belleville. That's August 7th and 8th. That's the same weekend as the Walter Rudnicki training session. And on the 21st and 22nd of August will be the Golden Lake powwow. And there will also be a traditional chiefs gathering at the Six Nations Reserve and Grand River, similar to the Oneidas Oneontaaga Youth Elders Conference taking place on Oneontaaga right now out at the Ginny Yunkwa Lihoda Learning Center, the Log Schoolhouse. I'd like to thank Dean George for coming in and guest hosting last week on behalf of Smoke Signals. And this week we're going to close with a song from Murray Porter from his album entitled 1492, Who Found Who? The song 1492, Who Found Who? Here on Smoke Signals, Onagi Wahe Kwabmin.